Confident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 2nd on the West Coast, now December the 3rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome everyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Hello to everyone in the military that's listening to us overseas. Current and former, because we understand many, many people are relocated either in Sochi or Kazan, Russia, in the outback of Australia, New Zealand, throughout Europe, of course. I met many people when I was in Europe who were already retired from the military and married someone in one of the countries I visited. Seems like every country I visited, actually. And also all those listening in Central and South America as well. Got a great show for you tonight. I'm going to go right into that. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, so I want to make the most of the time tonight. Our guest is the webmaster, the creator of an excellent website, one of the best in the whole world. It's called educate-yourself.org. And I've known this man now for, it's going on 2 years. Actually, I had been a visitor to his website many, many times and reading all the different articles. Certainly what's going on in the world in the realm of politics, government, the New World Order, and also health issues, music, metaphysics, you name it. He touches everything. And so happened that after I had written a few articles for the Idaho Observer, we became friends, and occasionally we even worked together on research. And I have great respect for the work he does, and he puts out the truth. That's the bottom line. That's what we're doing day in and day out. He's my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. Pleasure to be on with you again.
Thank you. I'll tell you, it's a pleasure to be able to talk on the radio. I've been down the rabbit hole, you know. And yeah. When you come up, man, it's like, whoa, where's the shower? First thing you want to do, fumigate. Sometimes it's actually cleaner down the rabbit hole than it is on the surface. I just wanted to mention to you, I listened to True Watt show today, Dr. A. True Watt, and he was touching upon this thing on Sor Shafal, and I don't really want to go into Sor Shafal per se, because we've covered that whole issue on some other shows. But, you know, there's these emails going around that a plane was shot down over China, and they were spraying pathogens, we'll say. And you know, here's the smoking gun. You know, it's got the tanks, and it's got the little spray nozzles on the wings, and, you know, the whole nine yards. And True really went into some depth and brought out a lot of really interesting facts, you know, that the name is sort of a mishmash of letters that, you know, you can juggle around. And when you sort them out in a different way, it spells out as of Rakhal. And and I mentioned to him that, you know, this attribution to David Booth, actually, when you run a search on David Booth, the first name that comes up is Rebecca Booth. And this, of course, in the Hebrew literature that he brought forth, which is Kabbalistic in nature, okay, mind you. We're not talking about the Hebrew faith, per se, but the Kabbalah, And this is used to produce some kind of sinister black magic. And so when these emails go out, you watch how people start freaking out over the news. We want to encourage people to be discerning when they get these things, especially, you know, that this is a multinational group of people. It's not just one person. In fact, you know, he talks about the sisterhood. Is it any surprise that they claim that Saoirse Fowle is a nun and that, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Rumors have it in the Kremlin, you know. Mm-hmm. As Christopher Story says, the Kremlin doesn't do rumors.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to encourage people, because a lot of people are waking up and they're reading these things and they sound very believable, because there's a bit of truth mixed in, but more disinformation than anything else. Mm-hmm. And it creates a lot of needless fear.
Right.
So I got to call in to Drew's show. That's what I'm getting at, Drew Raines. And so I was sort of invited to call in, and I got to share a little bit of genealogy research on this current article that I wrote, because I had made a promise to my listening audience last night that I was going to get to the bottom of this. And you sort of know, we're not going to spill the beans yet, but you sort of know that I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
With in about 12 hours, actually.
Mm.
So, people are in for some more surprises. Let's mm-hmm. put it that way. And you're open to comment if you want to.
Well, just for a moment, I'll just touch on Saoirse Fowle. I recall when, in quotations, Mark Shee came out of the box, started to show up in the internet. I'm guessing at the time, I'm guesstimating 2002, 2003, somewhere around there. Might have been as late as 2004, but it was quite a while ago, at least 5 years ago, if not six. And at first, this individual using this name had a lot of exposure. For instance, Jeff Rentz's website, Rumor Mill News, even David Icke's, all the, let's say, well-known alternative news website tended to put this stuff. And I, too, when I first read it, I was taking it at face value. So, anyway, as time goes by, though, it didn't take that long to notice there's a pattern. And I think I wrote my first, let's say, criticism of Saoirse Fowle maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know. I'd have to do a search. But I've done a number of essays criticizing this person identifying themselves as Saoirse Fowle.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on, many things became apparent. And one pattern that became very obvious is that virtually every article which, quote, Saoirse Fowle pens, it's a doom and gloom, the sky is falling article, without exception.
As
every single one of us.
Western subscribers.
Right. And that's the other, let's say, handle that there was always expressed in the beginning of these essays as reporting. Okay. Well, I happen to have people in Russia who read my website, and they contact me. And at that time, as I started to question and criticize this person saying they're Saoirse Fowle, I asked a couple people in Russia, St. Petersburg, Moscow, and particularly St. Petersburg, because the person claimed to be from that area. So I said, do you know of any Russians who've ever heard of Saoirse Fowle? Does she have a readership? No. I haven't spoken to one Russian who's ever heard of this person. So there was no Russian readers. That was simply made up.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was looking in Reader's Digest to see if there was a subscription coupon in there, even. You know.
So that was just the beginning. So I got a clear indication from, and this guy was contacting me regularly. We were talking about a lot of things that have to do with Russian life. And so I really wanted to get into this. And he says, no way. He says, I've talked to many people. on the internet. No one's ever heard of Sorchafal. She doesn't have a Russian subscriber newsletter. It doesn't exist. I would know about it. He's doing searches on Russian search engines. It just isn't there. So the picture became clearer. So the fact that every article is the sky is falling, you know, coupled with the fact that, now the other thing I came to realize is, again, this might have been as long as 4 years ago. They were showing the picture of what looks like, you know, a young woman, nice looking brunette young woman, maybe late 20s, early 30s, very comely looking, nice looking girl. This was supposed to be Sorchafal. And at one of these conferences, you know, they have these UFO expos, they have MUFON, they have global science, they got a lot of these, you know, conferences. Well, at one of them, maybe it's conspiracy conference, I forget. This party was being touted as a person who's going to show up. And they sent out emails that she's going to be at this expo and yada, yada, yada. And I thought to myself, I'm going to find somebody who's going to go to that so they can go there and go to her lecture and take her photos, etc. And let's pin down who this person is. Because I started to think, booking at an expo, I was thinking to myself, this is just a made-up name. And then I started to think, oh, okay, if she's real, let's see what she looks like. But don't you know it? Unfortunately, at the last minute, she had to cancel. She couldn't show. Isn't that a pity, Don?
Yeah,
ever seen Sorchafal.
Yeah,
has ever seen her talk or been able to question her on the radio show. No way. But, of course, she has all these Russian readers. So it's a scam. It's a psyop. So David Booth is involved in it. He is the person who owns the website that, quote, puts up, quote, her stuff. It's either him or it's a relative of him. There is no woman by the name of Sorchafal. It's a psyops.
Yeah, it's a Pentagon MI6 psyop.
Mossad, CIA, something, but it's a psyops. So I just stopped, you know, commenting about her. Once in a great while, someone will send me a Sorchafal thing, and I'll say, come on, wake up. This is old news.
Yeah.
So they take a long time to peter out. You know, these individuals who are running these psyops, they rise quickly, they get a big following, and then people start realizing that there's a lot of holes in their story, a lot of things don't make sense. You never can identify the person, you never can talk to them, you never can see them. That's the biggest tip-off. And then gradually they decline in popularity, but they work it as long as they can, you know.
This is a whole group, okay?
Well, it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think of what Truat deciphered, mm-hmm. as of Rachal, he went down the rabbit hole deep on that. And in fact, he did a two-hour show on that. And a good hour and a half with Drew Raines on the same topic.
Okay.
Pretty amazing. But I just wanted to touch upon that because...
Yeah, we won't... I just want to end this comment about her, or that this type of psyops work. The goal is to get you talking about them and reacting to them. That's the goal. I told Ted Gunderson that 10 years ago when Barbara Hartwell was trying to goad him over the internet, making up one outrageous lie after another about who he is and what he does in his work, etc. And I told Ted, I says, the goal is to get you to react. They want you bickering all day with her or Stu Webb or any of these other phonies whose job it is to just stir the pot. And we... you know, who are interested in just trying to save this country, and we should not allow ourselves to become unduly embroiled, particularly in such an old psyops as Sorchafal. You know, we got new people coming up in the ranks trying to, you know, pretend that they're the real deal who will be exposed to psyops. We certainly don't have to be eating up our time going over a retread like Sorchafal or...
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
I'll say this, to add to what you're saying, is writing a piece like I just wrote, or this Fort Hood piece, which have both been read by many, many people.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking about the Eisenhower piece, the birth certificate controversy that was quashed, and then the Fort Hood thing, and the heist that was going on there, and the shooting was nothing but a diversion.
Right.
You find out real fast who the disinformation agents are.
Right.
There's one particular agent that keeps cropping up here and there, and this guy's actually made calls, you know, to the network and the people saying he's going to sue me. Well, sue me, okay? Mm-hmm. Sue me, please do.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to, because I have a lot of information that I can bring out, but I'm bringing it out anyway. You see. So you're just going to out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've outed the person anyway. But it's amazing that heads of the network join in attacking the messenger. See, this is just some research. Mm-hmm. All it is some truth, you see? And these people can't handle the truth. They want to compartmentalize what they want to accept and what they don't want to accept. And if something is keeping them inside the box or challenges their belief system, they want to paint the messenger as a wacko. Well, there are plenty of people that know exactly what I'm talking about, and probably even know who I'm talking about. I won't even give the individuals the courtesy of calling them out by name. Mm-hmm. But I will just say that it's amazing that these people who profess to be wanting to save their country attack people that are revealing the truth. And I'll tell you, the truth is going to keep coming out faster and faster, and they'll be part of it. they're making their bed. They're going to have to sleep in it. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want to, what would you like
to
discuss?
Well, actually, what you just talked about is sort of in line with, let's say, the thesis of at least part of the program tonight. I want to devote to the notion of, let's say, reminding listeners that it's a mistake, and it's harmful to your inner, let's say, peace, your inner purposefulness in life, your inner drive, your inner, you know, desire to expand and grow and develop, etc., to allow yourself to become unduly, let's say, affected by internet articles and essays which really are alarming, anxiety-producing. I just had a very brief email exchange with a guy in the UK who just put together a website. Actually, he just started the whole website, just registered about 10 days ago, and he wanted me to see it, so I read the link, and you know, he did a lot of work. He assembled a lot of articles from all over the internet that hit that nail on the head on all the main let's say avenues that I have on my website, for instance, and he put a lot of links to other websites which are doing, you know, the same sort of thing. And it's good and fine, but this is December of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
We now have been reviewing the main elements of the New World Order takeover. At least I have on my website since 1996. I the same essay I have on my website today, it's called the New World Order Overview. I composed it in the spring of 1996. Now, I had just read, within the last year, Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse. And from there, I went to David Icke's book and Anthony Sutton. You know, I was once I became aware of what the game was about, I kind of dove in and went for a lot of the well-known authors, William Carr, Pawns in the Game, et cetera. So I kind of really saturated my my learning curve with the New World Order stuff, so I can really know what I'm talking about. So I wrote that overview in 1996, and frankly, all the main points that I hit on there, A, the population reduction side of the agenda, the cashless society, moving towards a one-world government feudal system. Who's at the top of the pyramid? Okay, royalty, black nobility, wealthy elites of the world who are part of certain bloodline families. Okay, and I can just go down bullet point, all the, let's say, the main, you know, the involvement of the military gradually drawn into this, the corruption of politicians, down the line. So all the main bulleted points of the New World Order, at least I overviewed them in 96, and certainly other people who knew the game long before I, in their books, had done it equally well. But it's 2009 now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Enough of the review. We don't have to keep on reviewing the what the New World Order takeover is, because it's known now. You know, everyone, at least who's paying attention to sort of things, has at least read some parts of the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. So let's stop reviewing it, okay? And just, and what I'm getting at here, and what's the purpose of this little rant, is to tell listeners, or advise listeners, to not become overly enmeshed in the fear-producing, anxiety-producing articles. I just had a person send me something today. Trains loaded with, running through this country with, foreign equipment, foreign troops. They initially sent me an email, which I put up on my website 4 or 5 days ago, about increased activities off Camp Pendleton on the coast there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it up. You know, I never, it's the first time I got an email from this person. But I can see, I think it's a woman, I can see from the tenor of what she's doing, it's, you know, this is what she's into. Well, I'm not going to keep on putting that stuff up, simply because I don't want to serve the Illuminati's game. And their game is, in Sorcha Fall example, or anyone else who's putting up The Sky Is Falling articles, wants to keep people in a constant state of anxiety, of fear, of trepidation, of worry. Now, when you're, what the Illuminati knows and what the naive public doesn't know is that they have studied human nature to the nth degree. They have laboratory, you know, all this. You know, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations wasn't studying about, you know, how to get along. How to be on your best manners and get along with your fellow men.
Yeah.
They were studying human nature in order to manipulate it. Okay? And they've got this down to a fine science. And the way they get their mind-controlled, mind-influencing, mind-conditioning, subliminal programs installed is to keep you, the American public, or, you know, this is a worldwide phenomena, any John Q. citizen of the world in a state of fear and anxiety. Why? You truncate or limit or, you know, lower access to higher thought forms, okay, the higher realms of thinking. When you're in a state of fear, it's not the time you're going to be contemplative and philosophical and think long and hard. No, you don't do that. When you're in a tizzy, you go towards, you know, basic survival type thinking. That's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a lowered vibration.
There you go.
And it's all physicality and mentality based.
Right.
There's no spirituality in it whatsoever.
Right.
Which leads one to the discernment of what's really going on.
That's, exactly.
You know,
human consciousness is expanding. I'm told, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm willing to believe it, that the frequency of this planet and all the other planetary bodies in this solar system are increasing in frequency. That may be true. I don't know for a fact, but that's what they say. I do recognize, I think most people do, that compared to, let's say, 20 years ago, time seems to be going faster. Maybe that's just because I'm older, but nevertheless, I notice that people, there is an acceleration here of consciousness expansion. I see it. And I notice the sun is brighter than it was, let's say 5 years ago. It's whiter than it was. So I think that might have something to do with it. But I can see that a lot of people are, and sometimes in leaps and bounds, like this guy in the UK. He just put up the website 10 days ago, and he telling me on the email that he's working on a 14-hour thing. What happened is that all of this New World Order awakening just came to him recently. He had like one of these aha experiences, and once he did, he told himself, hey, I'm going to put up a website and you know, tell other people about this. No, that's not to say that there aren't 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 200,000 other websites doing the same thing, but that's okay. It gives me the idea, anyway, that this fellow caught on. And, you know, once you have this, oh, my God, aha experience, some people are motivated to get going and put up a website. I mean, that's why I did it. I mean, I was really interested in talking about alternative health stuff initially, but I had no choice. The New World Order is coming barreling down the road, whether you like it or not. So I discovered it back in the mid-90s, and that's when I started to write about it. And other people are just, you know, coming on board in the past few months. Around the world, they've been spraying chemtrails for almost 12 years now. I continue to get emails, not a flood of them, but a trickle of them, from people, different countries, who just realized that chemtrails are being sprayed. Oh my God, I never knew. You know, that I can, it's practically verbatim the same email. It's always, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, so it's same with the New World Order. There's always new people coming on board. Or some people heard the term, but they didn't really get the nitty-gritty stuff until recently. And then they have, so as more people come on board, they are always inclined to be beguiled, shall we say,
by everything.
Websites that hit you with the really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I don't say this in the interest of criticizing Alex Jones, but his website is, it's good. He puts out a lot of solid stuff. He's never jumped the gun on anything that I haven't been aware of, but nevertheless, he's reaches a lot of people who I never reached and who are just coming on board. So I'll give him credit for that. But the information tends to be fear-producing, fear-provoking, anxiety-provoking, because it's, you know, it's worrisome.
The void of solutions, because the solution isn't buy my DVD.
Yeah, exactly.
You
right.
Know?
So I'll close this little rant out, you know, with this caution, is that don't allow yourself to be unduly influenced by websites that have one worrisome hot breath. The sky is falling, you know, the troops are moving, you know, the Chinese, the Russians are coming. Yeah. I got all that. I put that stuff up 13, 14 years ago. Enough already. Let's just concentrate on saving the country and keeping our head and keeping our cool, and do something proactive to undermine the New World Order destruction of this country. And how do you do that? Well, first you should learn how easy it is to take care of your health yourself. If you learn how to take care of your health yourself, it's really, how many guys at least in my generation, when I was, you know, before I even got a driver's license, 13, 14, 15, I loved to start working on cars. To me, it's like an adventure. There's nothing I could enjoy more than that, you know? So I was able to take apart engines and rebuild them by the time I was 15, 16 years old. It was a piece of cake. And I've done work on my own cars all my life, mostly because I had to in earlier phases. But when I got a little bit more money, I do it because I like it. It's just fun. It's a guy thing, and I just like doing it. It's easy to repair mechanical things for me. And I just enjoy the pleasure of doing it. I enjoy washing my car. I never take my car to a car wash. I just enjoy the pleasure of washing a car. shining it, et cetera. It's a guy thing. Okay, so you can learn to take care of your body in the same way you can learn to, you know, fix an engine on a car or, you know, it just takes studying. And if you study, you know, the sort of people that are teaching information based on a clear understanding of nature and how man, you know, is a humanity, is a product of nature. We are not a marvelous machine like they told us in high school, in college. No, we're not a marvelous machine. That's a lot of hooey. We're not a machine. We're a living flesh organism that has a spirit residing within it. We are not a machine. So once you understand that the dominant Western medical culture is based on a mechanical model, and therefore, if we were machines, well, we take our machine into the mechanic who calls himself Dr. So-and-so, allopathic, or surgeon Dr. So-and-so, that would probably be the wisest way. But since we're not machines, we're living organisms which have a spirit within it, and because we are a product and live within the confines or the environment which created for us by nature, we should really learn what nature's rules are. And then if we get into trouble and we do things that are, let's say, polluting, toxifying, damaging to the body, we can reverse it by understanding how the body really works. And you're not going to find out how the body really works by studying allopathic medicine. It's just not going to happen because they don't understand how the body really works. They certainly think they do, and they've been teaching that in medical colleges since 1907.
And they tell you that the pharmaceutical industry is the answer to that.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
why they make so much money.
That's right. So if you learn how to take care of your body, and I mean attend to the gravest of diseases. If I got cancer, the last person I'm going to go see is an oncologist. The last thing I'm going to do is have chemo or radiation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do what a nature-based a physician would recommend. Now, in my case, I don't want to wait for, I don't want to depend on someone else to tell me how to take care of the body. The literature is out there. I can read, I can understand English, I could read the data and learn how to take care of myself. Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
It takes some time and some effort, but the advantages are tremendous in so much that I don't have to depend, A, on having insurance to get the medical coverage to pay for these hugely outrageous, overpriced services that you get, let's say, at a hospital. You go to a hospital and you stay there 20 minutes for, let's say you had a panic attack, you know, and I mean, this happens to a lot of people, sometimes from indigestion. They think they're having a heart attack. They take them there, okay, they give them a cardiogram. No, your blood's, oh, you know, I guess it's, oh, he burps real, oh, gee. Okay. Then they give you some, you know, tranquilizer or something, and you leave 20 minutes later. You get the bill, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000. It's common. For a while, when I first got to California looking for work, I just did part-time work, and for a couple months at least, I worked as for like an insurance company. I was just a gopher. I just did this, that. But man, I got to see so many insurance claim forms from people who went to hospitals. I couldn't get over the numbers. Unbelievable how much they're overcharging. And that was 14 years ago. I can't imagine how obscene the prices are today. So if you're, let's say you lose a job, and then you because you're losing a job, you lose your medical insurance. Now you're in anxiety city because you can't pay for the doctor. You don't need the doctor. You just need to study the books that teach you how to take care of your body yourself. In the books that I found that do that job most effectively are the books of Holda Clark, Dr. Holda Clark. I have no connection with the Holda Clark estate. They don't even know me. I have no connection with her publisher, although I emailed the lady once in a while. I have no connection with them whatsoever.
other than I admire what she has put into her books. And I've read her books, and I've learned a great deal of information, and if I had more time, I would study them more, because I would, you know, become even more savvy on how to take care of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a link on my website. At the top of every page on my site, there's about 11 or 12 or 13 rows, and somewhere in the middle of one of those rows, it says Dr. Hulda Clark Books. I recommend people. Some of the books are available online through that link. And but frankly, the books are so inexpensive. I think the publisher is charging $22 or $23 each. They're easily 500 pages each, 550 pages. They're thick. And they're gold mines of information. And I would get every book she's ever printed. If you're going to only get one or two, then get the latest. Even though they have the word cancer in the title, they cover a lot of ground beyond cancer. But I would get them all. I'd get a library of five books or so and start reading them. And there's a few forums that kind of emphasize Hulda Clark's teachings. I think The Cure Zone being one of them, I think. Anyway. And if you start reading the books, you don't have to go to your allopathic physician and ask, you know, I got this pain, what do I do? No, you figure it out yourself. And all the answers in Hulda Clark's books are simple, inexpensive, easy to obtain items.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to make two points, if I could. And,
yeah.
And you know, we can pick this up again because you've touched upon something a couple of times that causes me to look at or to sense how most people are reacting to what's going on.
Okay.
The scuttlebutt coming out of Washington is, we're going to give you a health care package, you know, which is draconian in nature for anyone that's really looked at it carefully. But it signals or demonstrates the fact that the majority of people are dependent upon someone else telling them whether or not they're healthy,
right.
and then taking some action based on that. And just because Washington says they have a lot of money, whether they do or they don't, and that they're going to distribute this money in a way that everyone can get this, even to penalize those that say, wait, you know, I'm not buying this.
That just burns me to no end.
That they're criminalizing this, or that they have an intention to do this. You see,
mm-hmm.
there's always a dark side to all these wonderful things that they do for humanity.
Right.
And of course, I'm a bit tongue-in-cheek here, but it's true. Now, you brought up a point about nature. And there are two ways that nature works. It is designed to be perfect, and it is designed to honor the creation. And so nature, by its very nature, is creative.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do to nature is destructive. So nature can manifest itself in showing the symptoms of destruction. So we should be conscious in taking care of ourselves that we're not being destructive to nature at the same time. That is important, because that raises the vibration of the planet. That raises the vibration of consciousness in the individuals and in the collective of humanity. Aside from what they have intended to do to us or whatever, you know, this is the mindset that a person has to have. It's my conviction. If you're depending on whether or not someone is going to come and aid you when you get sick, then you're already planning to get sick. You see,
right.
Your consciousness is focusing on that, and you already predetermined that you were going to need this service. Not if you're taking care of yourself. Not if you're taking the steps to educate yourself, like you're describing. You know, with Hulda Clark's teachings in her books.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make that point too.
Well, very, very good. And I really do appreciate your addendums, because they really do add to the story. Yeah, so you just said something very valuable, and I'll just echo it a bit more, is that your reality goes in the direction your consciousness going. Whatever your consciousness is doing, that's, you know, your mind and your body follow. What you focus on is the vibes that create the reality around you. So, as you just, you know, jointly said, when you're, and I was there one time, you know, I wasn't always, you know, Mr. Free of any concerns about this or that. There was a time when I, A, thought allopathic was the cat's meow, and I was very worried about having medical insurance. And, you know, I think a lot of people are somewhat hypochondriac when they're younger. You know, I certainly was. So I've gone through all that. So
yeah,
it's not like I haven't been there. So I don't criticize people if you're there, because, you know, I was there too.
No, that's not the point. But I brought that up because, you know, we sort of have this fearful preoccupation with being sick instead of being healthy.
Exactly right, and you create the reality where. So this is the same reason, you know, we had the little discussion earlier about not allowing yourself to be unduly drawn into websites that have one doom and gloom, the sky is falling article after another, even though they might be true, you know, to some extent. You know, I'm not even talking about the relative honesty or dishonesty of it, but if you get into that vibe, you're going to become overburdened with worry, anxiety. You're crippling yourself by doing that. You can't win a war if you're engaged in a war by crippling yourself in this way. You've got to move forward, and you have to think about how you're going to join in with the larger body of humanity to stop and unravel the New World Order. Everyone can participate on some level to stop participating or aiding the New World Order from going forward. I mentioned this in some previous talks. I said, for instance, people in law enforcement, people in the military, people who work particularly for agencies like FEMA, Homeland Security, etc. Now, I'm sure, you know, the people who they offer those jobs to many times are probably not even native-born Americans, because they want people who just do the job for the money and have no sense of, you know, emotional attachment to the country. So I understand that. But at the same time, there are still a mixed bag in all government agencies, even the CIA. I mean, I can't think of a group that's darker than the CIA, but even the CIA, you still have a gradation of people whose loyalty, you know, isn't necessarily totally, you know, in bed with the devil. So FBI, another good example. You know, there's a lot of stuff I could criticize the FBI about, because they're certainly not the FBI they were, let's say, 40 or 50 years ago. But there's still a lot of people who work for those agencies. They're not in the planning loop. They're not part of the New World Order elites who got their tickets to these underground cities. They're just people who wanted a job. So it's those people, everyone who's in some position, that you can arrange your conduct in such a way that you don't help and promote. Now, other people, politicians, at least on the city and town level, really ought to be involved in building walls against the New World Order takeover. And once you get, let's say, a city council loyal to the interest of their citizens, loyal to the interest of the Constitution, then you can start putting in state officials who will also be anti-New World Order. We really need to have this ground. It's certainly not going to stop from the, you know, executive down. That's not going to happen. Our U.S. Congress is largely sold out, blackmailed out. I mean, you know, so you're not going to, these people who collect petitions and all that, they're wasting their time. What they ought to be doing is, you know, making these guys extremely uncomfortable every time they go to and from their cars or picket in front of their homes and so forth to put real direct heat on them, because they're just selling us out like you can't believe. And they feel no pain. They feel no pain. Thank God at least one small group heckled and got on Al Gore, who was at a bookstore signing.
I'd say that audio.
Right. I mean, that just does my heart so much good.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have the time to do that. I'm doing my little thing. But the people who got out, organized, or the people who, you know, the 1 to 2 million people who went to Washington on September 12th, which the ABC News reported is 60,000, this is what people have to do who have the time and resources and ability. And don't depend on Ken Adachi or Don Nikoloff or Alex Jones or Jeff Rentz to save you from the New World Order, because it ain't going to happen. You're going down. We're all going down unless you get involved in the game. And I'm talking to anyone who hears my voice. You got to do something on your level and your capacity to undo the game. And if, let's say, if you learn how to take care of your health, then you don't have to worry about insurance. I don't have medical insurance. I haven't had medical insurance for most of my life. When I was younger, you know, I had some jobs. Yeah, I had medical insurance. But for most of my life, I have not had medical insurance. Am I really sweating bullets every? No, I'm not. I won't go into details, but maybe if I was really smart, I'd get catastrophic insurance. So let's say I was in a car accident or I had a heart attack and had to go, you know, emergency treatment. Well, maybe I'd have a policy to cover me there.
Yeah, your policy is supposed to cover the accidents, you know? So,
well, you know what I'm saying is,
yeah,
is that if I'm going to get medical insurance, I would just get catastrophic. But for routine, let's say, health management or even disease management, I don't need to go to a doctor. I can learn how to take care of myself. I know people who, you know, who are talented, who I can talk to, who can sense information and pass that information on to me, and that helps me fine-tune what I have to do. But it's not a big deal. It's like learning how to fix a car. Spend a little time studying the books. And then that whole worry about it. Now, if you're parents and you have children, good God, don't ever get your kids vaccinated. I don't care what the school tells you. There's a vaccine exemption in every state of this union. So you need to obtain those vaccine exemptions for them, learn the law, so that when you enroll your kids in school and the person at the enrollment tells you you have to do X, Y, and Z, you got to get a Social Security card, you have to get your sons vaccinated. No, and you start ticking off the law to them that, no, you don't have to get vaccinated. Here's my exemption for it. No, I don't have to get a Social Security card. We'll worry about that when old enough to work, etc. They want you to, you know, get your number, give your DNA. I just had a man from the UK concerned about babies at newborn babies at hospitals. They're taking a blood sample from them from the heel. It's called a heel prick. I just put the article up yesterday, and what happens to that data? And I says, well, they're taking the child's DNA, and I says, what they're usually doing, and I've heard from people in the business, you know, who, you know, would not reveal the name, or I can't reveal, but I'm sure anyone who's in, let's say, deep into hospital work knows perfectly well that vaccines are given to babies without telling the parents, and also kids are being microchipped, and they're not telling the parents. They've been doing this for years. I'm not saying they're doing it at all hospitals, but they're doing it at a lot of hospitals, perhaps even most hospitals. It's been going on for a long time. Now, why do they want the kid's DNA? Simple, because they can control the kid. Once the government has your DNA, they have your DNA, they can map your entire DNA sequence. That's an individual code that only you have.
Then they're going to say, okay, you have to take this drug and this drug and this drug here, or you go to prison.
Perhaps, but yeah, they can focus any sort of their high-tech energy on you that they want,
yeah,
once they have your DNA. You can become eligible for psychotronic harassment once they have your DNA. This is why they have in the last few years tried to ratchet up the excuses to get saliva swap DNA from, let's say, first it was people who were convicted of felonies in prison. They, you know, no choice. They take your saliva sample DNA. And then it was people who are merely arrested. They have no constitutional authority to take a blood sample or take your DNA sample just on the basis of arresting you. I'm not sure, you know, they can prove the point even when you're a convicted felon. But certainly when not when you're arrested because you haven't been convicted of anything. For that matter, constitutionally, they should not be able to even take your fingerprints just based on arresting you. Because arrest doesn't mean you're guilty of anything. It just means you got arrested. Doesn't mean you're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't have to be treated on any level like you're a criminal just because you're arrested. I mean, I have so many complaints about this whole area, this notion of putting people in handcuffs with their hands behind their back when it's a little children, when it's a little, you know, 85-pound woman who, you know, this is ridiculous. The cops are so barbaric today. The way they used to behave when they were younger. I mean, when they were younger, they would put cuffs on the front. Okay, I can understand the drugged out guy, okay, the violent guy. That's a rarity. Most people are arrested by police, or, you know, particularly if they're children or women or frail people. It should be obvious to a man with common, or a woman with common sense, this person is not... has not done anything to demonstrate, you know, superhuman strength or yet they routinely treat people as if they're all drugged out, hysterical, crazy, maniacal killer beast.
Well, there was a woman that was strip searched not too long ago. I don't know if
you
saw this in the police station, you know, in the holding area. Mm-hmm. And I mean they gang tackled this woman and stripped.
And
of course, she's screaming and trying to get away. I mean, you know, she's being assaulted. Of course, she's going to. And they caught all this on videotape. Now, they show this on the news, and then you don't hear anything more about it.
Exactly.
It seems to go away.
That's right. It's always like that. You know, the level of police maltreatment of people in this country and other countries. You know, the UK, I'm just... In Canada used to have the reputation of having the let's say the most gentle, easygoing people, politicians, and even police. You know, I mean, that's how it used to be many years ago. When I was much younger, we used to go to Canada every summer. And compared to the United States, the people overall were much more gentle, and the police were much more polite and. You know, during that area, and I came from a rough part of the Northeast, even in that area, compared to the way the pops act now, the cops of that era were like choir boys in terms of, you know, the just general civility that they handled anybody in the public with. But my God, the barbarity and the rough treatment and the callous treatment that you get from police for nothing, you know, traffic stops, you know, just nothing little stops or, you know, at a, you know, they're involved in a pro, you know, they're picketing or something at a protest and the police just, you know, turn into the rioters, not the people doing the political protests, it's the police who riot. And this has got to stop so that if, let's say you're in the, in doing law enforcement, let's say you're related to law enforcement, people got relatives that said, these words should come out of you in talking to that party and tell them, stop allowing yourself to become a New World Order RoboCop. Stop participating in the destruction of this country. Regain your humanity. And, you know, I realize it's a tough game to play. Because, you know, if you're too soft, as it were, when you're a cop, when the overall, let's say, tempo of the force is to be hard-ass, you're perceived as being wimpy, and maybe you'll be razzed and all. Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, if you express the reasons why it's necessary to retain your humanity, because the entire civilization decays when you allow any segment of it to become abusive, exceed their authority, exceed their power, allow corrupt behavior to go unstopped, unchallenged. We all wither and die.
Yeah. Now, you know, we consider, from what we see in film and in the movies, you know, the British cops, the bobbies, have this reputation of being polite and sensible and very intellectual, and that may be true. You know, you've seen the Everything Is Okay guys.
Yeah.
And they're being filmed, so they're being very super, super careful. But you can see that they can become confrontational.
Yes.
Over really nothing, you see.
Yes, right.
And it's part of what you're describing. You know, well, this is policy. You can't.
Yeah, it's the culture of the cop force itself that needs to be, let's say, uplifted and risen. And you know, and it's only the participants, you know, the people who are involved in that force on any level, whether, you know, they're a clerk typist or whether they're a relative or the spouse of someone who's doing that sort of job, you have to bring up these issues with let's say you're married to a policeman. You got to bring up these issues, and you got to raise the consciousness of that cop. I mean, most people are decent.
Well, they had a protest. They had a protest in England a couple of months ago. You may have heard of this. I think we talked about it on the show. There was a man that was walking home from work, and there was a protest going on, and he sort of went down the street there.
Beaten and killed. I remember now.
There on the spot.
Yeah, I found that article up. I know the one you talked about. Right, exactly.
So you know, even the British police, and then again, I don't know what division of the police that was that handles the riot control.
Yeah, I think it's Bournemouth. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting, but I have the town, and yeah, they tasered the guy to death. You know, I won't get off on it tonight because we've devoted shows exclusively to taser abuse. But that's one thing you could do if you can have any influence on anyone who's in police work. Don't take out that taser gun. You know, it's just an instrument of torture. No police anywhere in the world should be carrying a taser gun. They don't need it as much as some of their ranks will claim, oh, well, this is absolutely necessary. No. You know, we've been able to subdue people who, you know, let's say are hyped up on drugs and so forth with other more civilized means. You know, usually just enough cops would do it. In the very earlier eras, they used to even, you know, late 19th century, I suppose early 20th century, to catch a fleeing criminal, they would throw a net around them. I mean, there's so many civilized ways to do this. You don't have to electrocute somebody. And what they typically do is they'll, you know, so many cops, good God, I mean, where are they getting them from?
Well, you know, let's make a comparison. You know, you see these guys, they're on a chase, right? A car chase. And there's hours until they run out of gas or they crash or they flatten their tires or whatever. Once they get the guy, they taser him. Now, I can understand being upset about chasing the guy around for 2 hours, but it's still, you know, you're talking about having the sensibility of using reasonable force to subdue the guy, not giving him 50,000 volts that could give him a heart attack and kill him.
Right.
But where's the parity in the person that's upset that they got stopped, that they felt they weren't speeding, or they're not being fast enough getting their driver's license out, and having them being tasered while they're sitting in the car?
Yes.
We've seen those videos. So that person there should have fled and driven for 2 hours, get their money's worth, if they're going to end up getting tasered. I'm being a bit ridiculous. But,
yeah, you know. I understand. But the point is that you know, the victims, if there was enough, let's say, legal action, if there was an national organized group who had the resources, the money, the lawyers, to simply jump down the throat of every police department that allows one of these Rambo guys who should not be policemen taser like a 10-year-old girl, or, you know, some old man like they did in Canada. I mean, there's just so many cases of people who present zero threat being tasered, and you know, often they're dying, and if they're not dying, that neurological damage, you know, doesn't go away in a couple hours. Often it's a, you know, you bought a lifetime of damage there, because 50,000 volts is a ridiculous amount of voltage to apply to a human being. They started out as being cattle prods at a much lower voltage.
Well,
and now they're up to 50,000 volts, and they're applying it to people simply to get you to comply with Officer Rambo within 10 seconds flat. Otherwise, you're going to get your torture execution right on the spot here.
Yeah,
this is insane.
They have on the back of a TV set, there's a warning not to open the back of the set unless you're a qualified technician.
Right.
And the reason why is the capacitor in the back of that set holds a charge of 50,000 volts.
Exactly. And that's on a big screen TV. I used to do TV repair, and I've gotten zapped more than once.
Yeah, even tabletop consoles, you know.
Yep. Right. Yeah, I know exactly. And that would just be a fraction of a second. You're touching, you know, a component, and you'll pick up the shock. And man, I'd fly halfway across the workshop, and then man, I'd be upset. You couldn't keep on working.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go up, I'd turn the lights. I go, oh man, I got to recover from that one. That's for like a fraction of a second.
That'll burn a hole in a big screwdriver if you hit it, you know, if you touch
one. These people, they're giving it to them, you know,
yeah.
You know, 10, 15 solid seconds, and then they'll reload and give them another one. I mean, it's absolutely obscene. And this, you know, the police chiefs are chosen to be this kind of, you know, New World Order type guy, because that's what they want. They want to amalgamate police forces into like this quasi-military deal. So the citizens of a town, city, borough, etc., they have to push their local council members. They have to organize and force your city to get rid of taser guns. I don't care how much they paid for them. They could, too bad. But they should not allow policemen to carry tasers. And unless the people of this country organize and stop it, it's not going to stop.
Well, we're the ones that pay for it.
Well, yeah, I got all that. I got all that. The point is that, you know, they'll use all kinds of excuses that they have to have it, absolutely essential tool, and blah, yada, yada, yada. You know, the people of this country just got to stop swallowing these New World Order hocus-pocus, you know, propaganda stories, and come back to the idea that policemen need to serve the public for the public's safety and protection. The policeman should be something that the public would look to for help. Mm. And in every major city of this country, it's just the opposite. People fear the police. Who in their right mind, when you, like, let's say, you know, see something, call the police because, you know, you're anxious to report it. You know how often the police turn around and whoever reported the crime, they look at it as a suspect. How many times has that happened?
Oh, yeah.
You know, someone who's, you know, or even some, let's say, people who have some psychic abilities, they'll call up. There was this black man. I remember I just saw something on, I don't know, where the heck I saw it, but this was a number of years ago. He was getting, like, psychic impression. Okay, call the police, he's reporting stuff, you know, he's thinking he's doing the right thing. They turned around and arrested him and convicted him. He didn't do the crime, they just hung it on him. And that's very common when, you know, you report a crime that happens in your home, you know, between spouses. The first thing they do is they look at the spouse as the murderer. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
So they have created this fear of them because of the way they behave, and they've been allowed, because you have the wrong people as police chiefs. There's these new world order types bring in, because the federal government is throwing money at them. Man, they got all these programs. If you, you know, we'll give you all this money, but you got to do this. You got to go to training at our, you know, our FBI thing, and you got to go to this, and you got to go to our Blackwater training, blah, yada, yada. But we got these nifty uniforms for you. We've got these taser guns for you. We've got these bulletproof vests. We've got these cool shields. We got this, all this headbanging stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The residents of a city got to say, stop.
Yeah, and where were they?
End the militarization. It's got to stop, and it's going to start with us.
Where were they during the Rodney King riots? And that's a whole, that we could do a whole series of shows on that. But, you know, because that whole thing was a psyop, and that whole thing was controlled, you know, remotely.
Right, right.
The attack of the truck driver. You know, there's not a cop in sight, but boy, the media was there to film it,
yes,
weren't they?
Right, exactly, Don.
See,
exactly.
Well, Ken, we're out of time. I know we've been doing longer shows, but
we've
got a break early tonight. I want to thank you for being on the show. You're going to be on again next Wednesday, the 9th of December, and I want to let the listeners know that. I want to encourage people to go to your website, educate-yourself.org. Certainly you can read about these things, but you can also read about what you can do. Ken's not just talking off the top of his head. He knows this material inside and out. Any closing statement you want to make?
Well, I'm just happy that we could review this notion of not allowing ourselves to be unduly influenced by fear-provoking, anxiety-provoking internet stories. We all have to learn how to take care of our own health. Perhaps in the next show I'll get into very specific things. It's so relatively easy to take care of yourself. It's quite easy. And we have so many cheap, very inexpensive, easy-to-obtain tools that anyone can obtain, and you could solve all your... You don't need expensive drugs. You don't need drugs for anything. You really don't need those people. You don't need their expensive machinery to find out what's going on. There's other ways to detect what's going on in the body without, you know, getting a multi-$1,000 MRI or CAT scan or any of that stuff. I mean, it's nice if you got the money, but majority of people, you know, well, let's say a large percentage of people don't have the money. And you don't need it. You don't need any of it. We can take care of ourselves.
Yes, and one would hope that, you know, should an emergency, you know, some unexpected event occur, you know, that's what the doctors are there for. You know, it should be what they're there for, let's put it that
way. It should be what they're there for, and if, let's say we enough people in this country woke up to self-education and health, what would happen is that, you know, the people would stop filling up hospitals. The prices would come down. It's a simple matter of supply and demand. The reason they charge so much is because, you know, Americans have been so dumbed down into thinking that they need the doctor to take care of them. They need the doctor's advice to know what to do. You know, and because of that, they bought into that system and all the crazy expense of it, etc., whereby if the majority learned how to take care of themselves, the prices would tumble precipitously, and then you might actually be able to afford a dentist in this country. I mean, you know, poor people can't get dental work in this country. Don, it's ridiculous how much money they charge. $200 for one side of one surface. I mean, it's insane how much money dentists ask for in this country. So if people stop, giving them the business, prices will come down. That's a fact.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight, and I look forward to your next interview next week on Wednesday the 9th of December.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Have yourself a great week. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying Evident Footprints, also blogtalkradio.com. Donna Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.